Why is the sky blue? Why is the ocean salty? Why do stars twinkle? Great questions from our children. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, young at heart, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, all of us who have had the privilege of being parents have had to undergo the why questions from our children. Today, we welcome back Kuun Su, who will address three questions of salvation. And in just a moment, Ken will tell us a little more about our guest speaker.
Thank you very much, McDaniel. And it's a real joy and pleasure for me to introduce to you Kuun Su as our guest speaker for today. I've known Kuun Su for many years as a brother in Christ and as a faithful and lucid expositor of the Word of God. He worships with his family at Bethesda Hall, Ang Mo Kio, where he is also involved in regular gospel preaching and Bible teaching. Kuun Su teaches a weekly Bible training class on the basic truths of the Christian faith, and it's wonderful to have him join us on Times of Refreshing.
Thank you, Kenneth. Hello, everybody. Welcome. We live in a world where we learn by asking questions. In fact, we are encouraged to do so. Our children are the best examples of learning by asking. Can you remember the time when they were small and how they endlessly and tirelessly asked the whys? Why is the sky blue? Why is the ocean salty? Why do stars twinkle? Why this? Why that? And many more. Each answer was followed by more whys. Yes, those were challenging but fun-filled days because we saw them learning. In the fields of science and medicine, advancements have been made primarily because of people who ask questions. For example, in medicine, if no one questioned the high mortality rate among post-operative patients, antiseptic surgery might not have been discovered. In science, if people like the Wright brothers did not question whether it was possible for men to fly, aeroplanes would not have been invented. Yet, questions may be raised merely for the sake of questioning, and hence, no benefit is gained from them. Similarly, in the realm of religion, many people have raised perplexing questions. In particular, questions have been asked of Christianity and its truth on salvation. I'm sure these types of questions are within our common experience. I wish to share three such questions which are recorded in the Bible. First, an inquisitive question. Are there few that be saved? Second, an incredulous question. Who then can be saved? Third, an imperative question. What must I do to be saved? Since all three questions relate to the truth of being saved, I should explain what that means. Well, it is about the gospel, which means good news. Before we have the good news, let us hear the pieces of bad news, and there are two. Firstly, there is the fact of sin. God declares this in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The verdict is clear. We are all sinners, no exception, no exclusion. Secondly, there is the price to be paid. God declares again in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Death is a separation. Physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. In the final analysis, Death means separation from God forever if our sin is not dealt with. That is the bad news. Now for the good news, and that is found in the famous verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There you are. To be saved means to confess we are sinners, believe that Jesus died for our sins, and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. When we have done that, we are saved from our sins. This is what being saved is. We now look at the first question, an inquisitive question. The word inquisitive means curious or prying. The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines it as inclined to ask questions, inordinately or improperly curious about the affairs of others. A good example in the Bible is found in Luke 13, verse 23, but we will read from verse 22 to verse 24. And He, Jesus, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter it, and shall not be able. This passage tells us that as Jesus went round teaching, someone stepped out of the crowd and asked, Are there few that be saved? William MacDonald said in his commentary on this verse, It may have been an idle question, provoked by mere curiosity. You can see why this is an inquisitive question. He wants to know about the number who are saved. It does not relate to him whether he wants to be saved and how to be saved. Yes, it was a curious question. Now, although an inquisitive question, we can learn from the way Jesus dealt with the questioner. Firstly, Jesus did not chide him for an inquisitive question. Secondly, Jesus answered by making it a teaching opportunity to bring the question to a personal application. Jesus gave a twofold answer. The first was that the man himself should strive to enter the strait or narrow gate. The word strive does not refer to works, but to a struggle in the face of difficulties and obstacles. Although salvation is simple, it is not easy. The narrow gate is the door of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. We cannot go through the door with our pride, our possessions, and our sins. Those things distract us and are obstacles to our search for salvation. The second is a caution that many will seek to enter but cannot because the door will be shut by then. Jesus was referring to a day in the future when the day of grace will end and judgment begins. We can paraphrase Jesus' answer this way. Whether there are many or few, make sure you are among them who enter the narrow gate. It will not be easy. It requires your full commitment. Many will seek to enter, but will find it shut. Perhaps you are one of those who have many inquisitive questions about Jesus and salvation. Let me say that there is nothing wrong with such questions. However, they will not benefit you in any way unless you take it further and customize the questions to fit you personally. Salvation, after all, is a personal choice to believe or not to believe in Jesus. The next question is an incredulous question. A good example is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 23 to 27, which reads, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." The immediate context has to do with a rich man asking Jesus about salvation, how to inherit eternal life. The Lord asked him to sell his possessions, give to the poor, take up the cross, and follow him. The Bible records the rich man's response in verse 22, which reads, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Then this question was whispered among all present, "Who then can be saved?" The same dictionary defines incredulous as unwilling to admit or accept what is offered as true. It normally refers to the person hearing a story or an explanation, but does not believe or finds it hard to believe, even if he is told the truth. So we call him an incredulous person. Hence, an incredulous question of this kind is asked by a person who finds it hard to believe the truth that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. There are a number of things to note about such questions on salvation. Firstly, such a person does not believe or finds it hard to believe the power of God to save. God alone can save fallen mankind. Are you that incredulous person? Jesus himself supplies the answer in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. That is, with God, all things are possible. Yes, our God is able and he will. Secondly, this question shows no urgency or interest on the part of the questioner on personal salvation. His incredulous question reflects his lack of belief and lack of urgency in the matter. Friend, are you affected by such questions about Jesus and his claim to be your Savior? If so, be assured that with God, all things are possible. The Bible says in John 1 verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Do not be incredulous, only believe. The third is an imperative question. The example is found in Acts chapter 16, verse 29 to 30. "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You would have spotted the imperative question. Yes, it is this: what must I do to be saved? The Merriam-Webster dictionary again defines imperative as not to be avoided or evaded. It is necessary. This passage has a personal significance to me. It was the sharing of this passage by someone that led me to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Chapter 16 deals with the imprisonment of Paul and Silas. They had cast out the evil spirit from a fortune teller. Her masters, realizing they had lost their source of income, brought Paul and Silas before the local authorities. They then falsely accused them of spreading customs contrary to those of the Romans, so they were thrown into prison. During the night, they were singing and praying. Suddenly, there was an earthquake which opened the prison gates and loosened the chains of the prisoners. Thinking that the prisoners had escaped, the jailer feared for his life and was about to kill himself. Fortunately, Paul intervened and told him not to do that, as all prisoners were accounted for. The jailer was relieved. Then the load of his sins must have weighed heavily on him. He must have heard about Jesus Christ from the singing and praying. Unable to contain himself any longer, he asked this imperative question: what must I do to be saved? My friend, this is the type of question God wants us to ask. There are a few reasons for this view. Firstly, it is a personal question. It rules out the position of others. It seeks to know his position, his salvation. He is not urgent about knowing how many are there who are saved, nor does he doubt the power of God to save. He knows any other question will not satisfy the deep need in his heart, the need to be saved. That's why he asks, what must I do to be saved? Secondly, you will detect a tone of urgency in this question. It's like a man running to a doctor saying, "Doctor, please help me, I am sick." Yes, this question required an urgent answer, one that could answer the question simply and clearly. To many people today, salvation is not urgent. We are so preoccupied with the things of this world that we forget the needs of our soul. We forget there is a life after death, with or without God. Let me share the words of this simple song which I learned when I was in Sunday school. We are in a big race to put rockets in space, but the needs of our soul we are refusing to face. I search myself through for a purpose that's true. Please, won't somebody show me the way? Someone show me the way, for I'm lost and needing to know the troubles of life and what life is about. Please, won't someone show me the way? Jesus says in John 14 verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Strangely enough, the earlier part of the passage says the jailer was awakened from his slumber by an earthquake. Are we complacent about our salvation? Do we need an earthquake in our life to shake us up before we ask questions about our salvation? Paul's answer comes to the jailer in words simple and clear: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." Yes, friend, put your trust in Christ. Take Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you will have life eternal and be a child of God. Which of these three questions run through your mind now about salvation? Are there few that be saved? Who then can be saved? What must I do to be saved? Friend, time is passing swiftly by. Don't ask questions to satisfy your curiosity only. Do not have any doubt as to God's power to save. Ask that urgent question for your salvation. The answers to other questions which eluded us may be clearer after believing. Yes, Christianity is not seeing, then believing, but believing, then seeing. Do you know something? I'm sure of one thing. All our questions and all our doubts will be cleared when we meet Jesus face to face in heaven. God bless you.
Three questions on salvation. Are there only a few who will be saved? Who can be saved? What must I do to be saved? Thank you, Ku and Sue, for your Spirit-filled answers. And this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall, in partnership with TWR Asia. Join us again tomorrow when Ken returns with a program called Consider. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question for Ken. I invite you to send him a text message, the number 9431-3813. Or you can write to him at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915-714. I also invite you to visit the Times of Refreshing Facebook page. There you can see the latest updates and you can give us your views right on our Facebook page. And we have a website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to this or any of the other programs right online. And Times of Refreshing also has an iPhone app, and it will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.